Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. If you are new, my name's Brad. I'm the lead pastor. I'm going to explain this contraption here in just a moment. I know you're staring at it, wondering what it is. I'll explain it here in just a moment, but we're really glad you're here. If you are new, Laura and I are always out there by the New Here banner. Stop by. We would love to meet you. We got a gift for you. We'd love to tell you a little bit more about CORE. So just stop by after the service. Please say hi. And make sure you sign up. Come on, refresh. Quit playing with lions. Let's go. Ladies, make sure you sign up. Not for refresh. Ladies, make sure you sign up your man for Quit Playing with Lions. Men, we are the worst about signing up for stuff. I mean, we like fill out half the thing and then go, did you not get it? So ladies, you might have to just turn to your man. If you're with a man right now, or you're sitting by a man you'd like to be with, turn to them and say, I'm gonna sign you up if you don't sign up. Come on, tell them, I'm gonna sign you up if you don't sign up. So we are in a series during the Lent season. This is a beautiful time, the Lent season, with 40 days leading up to the Easter celebration that we will have together. And we're in a series called Formed in Christ. We're looking at these different eight character traits that are found, and we're going to read here in just a moment, that are found in 2 Peter. But on your chairs this morning, when you came in, there were little cards like this. Ladies, grab the green one, would you? Grab the green one. Guys, you can grab the black one that has the lion on it. Everybody grab one of those. We've made these specifically for you. By the way, you can register for each one of the conferences using that QR code. But on the back, I want you to turn it over on the back. Because on the back of that card is where you're going to see the eight character traits and what it means to be formed into the image of Christ. I use this card every single morning. I look at it, I read it, I don't make a big deal out of it, but I say, this is the kind of man I want to be. And I'd encourage you during this Lent season, what I want to ask us to do as a church is put it in your Bible, put it in your journal, tape it to your dash or your end table, and maybe before when you get up in the morning or when you go to bed at night, just look it over. It takes you less than 60 seconds to read over that card, but let's get it into our souls. You know what I mean? Let's just not talk about this, but let's get it inside us. Let's be these kind of people. So what are the eight character traits? Let's look at the 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. So would you say this with me? Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love for everyone. So let's go to the scriptures, Luke chapter 22. If you would stand as we honor God's word, we read it here this morning. If you're new to the scriptures, Luke was not one of the 12 disciples, but he was a follower of Jesus, and he talked to a lot of the disciples. And he wrote down the stories and the accounts of Jesus' life, and this is one of them. So figured if we're going to look at this letter that Peter wrote, and that's what that was that we just read. It's a letter he wrote to the church. Let's look and see how Peter lived out these eight things. You know, you ever been around somebody and they're like talking about how to live? Parents were the worst at this. You know, you need to do this, you need to do this, and then our life doesn't quite match up to that. So Peter, I thought it'd be good during the series. It's like, if he's going to tell us to do that, let's look at his life. Let's examine his life and let's see how he did. And what I think you're going to find through this is that Peter is no different than you and I. He had his own failures, his own setbacks, his own struggles. And if Peter struggled, we're all going to struggle. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them right now, if Peter struggled, you're going to struggle. If Peter struggled, you're going to struggle. So Luke chapter 22. So Jesus, this is the final hours of his life. He has been in the garden praying with the disciples, and then he has been arrested, and we pick it up in verse 54. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. So if you're in the YouVersion app, look for the NLT. It says this, so they arrested Jesus, and they led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. So the guards, they lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them. A servant girl noticed him, and in the firelight, she began staring at him. Finally, she said, "Hey, this man was one of Jesus' followers." And Peter's like, "Hey, woman, I don't even know him." After a while, someone else looked at him and said, yeah, you're one of them. And he said, "No, man, I am not." About an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be one of them because he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and he looked at Peter. Now, I can't imagine that moment. They were so close. And Peter's was the man. He said, "I'm going to start the church on you, Peter." And now this. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. This is what Jesus had said to him at the Last Supper, because Peter said, I'll never deny you. You ever said that? I will never deny Christ. But Jesus reminded him of these words and came to Peter's mind. He said this, "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times that you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Today, I want to talk to you about moral excellence. What does it look like to live this life of moral excellence? Let's pray before we look at the word. Heavenly Father, we ask for your Spirit to come in this moment and you would just speak to us in this room. Church, pray. Come on, let's pray for each other. You don't have to do it out loud, but you got people sitting next to you that you know. Maybe there's somebody behind you that you met while during that greeting time. Somebody's hand you shook, somebody in front of you. Let's just pray for each other right now. This is what we do as a church, is we're here for one another, to support one another, that the Spirit would help each one of us. And I believe that the righteous prayer, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, man, much. I mean, your prayer is gonna make a difference in somebody's life right now. But also pray for your own soul. Okay, God, I know you're gonna try to, you want to speak to me today. And this isn't just about the person that's not here or the person next to me. This is a message for me. Come on, somebody say, "This is a message for me. This is a message for me." So Holy Spirit, teach us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, grab a seat. So how about these last couple of weeks with this weather? Not today. But I mean, why does Oklahoma do this to us, right? I mean, they tease us. Spring is here. No, it's not. I mean, these last few weeks have been absolutely beautiful, and it has gotten me excited because I hear in my head the sound of my riding lawnmower. I'm watching it, and it's about to happen, and I'm getting really excited. But I got to tell you, this past week, all of a sudden, it hit me. And I mean, I went from excitement to frustration to anxiety, because I thought, not only is it mowing season, but it is mole season. Come on, somebody. How many of you know when I talk about a mole, I need hands? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, y'all do. Now, some of you are like, "I don't know what a mole is." Well, a mole is that, you ever see those tracks in your yard that they're like little mounds and they're tracking around? You know, they're the ankle breakers. They're the ones that send you to the urgent care. That's made by a mole. How did the mole get on the ark? I mean, wait, he disguised himself like as a hamster, kind of waddling up to the ark. You know, Noah's like, "Hey, ain't you a mole?" No, sir. No. We hamsters, man. We hamsters. They got like his sunglasses on, like, you know, one of those Disney movies, waddling up. I detest these things because they will ruin a yard. And I've tried everything to get rid of them. So don't come up to me after service with your solution, okay? It's not what this is about. I've tried chewing gum. I've tried the garden hose. The most effective thing I've ever found is mole worms. That if you know what mole worms are, they put the mole to sleep. That's what they do. They take a nice little nap. But this last year, there were too many moles. In fact, they were invading my yard, my neighbor's yard. I don't know what was going on last year. But I noticed my neighbor had this trap, and it was different than the trap I had tried, because I'd tried a trap before, and I was talking to him, and he said, yeah, Brad, I got this trap. And I go, yeah, but I find those things don't work. He goes, no, you got to get this one right here. Okay, go ahead. You can take a picture of it if you want. I know some of y'all are like, this is all you're going to get out of this message today, is that's the trap I need. Somebody sitting next to you and they're on Amazon, tell them to get off that right now. But he told me to get this trap because he said when he got this trap, he killed like 14 of them in less than 2 weeks. I was like, oh, I got to get one of these. That's amazing. And so I did. And if you don't know about moles, they dig under the surface. They never come up to the light. They dig under the surface in the dirt, and they're just having a good time doing it. Just a little party in the dirt. And they don't really have, they have eyes, but their eyes don't really open, so they can't really see what's in front. They can't see what's in front of them. And so you set this trap, and what you do is you take your foot and you stomp it down, and then it takes these claws and it opens them up like a giant guillotine. It's amazing. Some of y'all need to get out of Oklahoma if you're just disturbed by that. You're in the wrong state. If this bothers you, I can relocate them to your front yard, okay? So that looks, they're just waddling along and they have no idea the trap I have set for them. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, bam! Well, not bam, it comes down slowly, it gives them a nice little hug. I think this is what's happening right now. Like, this is what's happening right now. People are digging around in the dirt, thinking they're having a good time, and they're messing around and they're flirting with sin. And they think it's harmless and it's not going to cause any problems, and they have no idea the trap that the devil has set for them or what's coming. This is not a message for those who are out there. This today is a message for us who are in here. Tell somebody next to you, this is for us. This is for us. Before we start pointing a finger at what's happening in the world, we need to look inside the church walls and say, do we look any different? Do we act any different? God has called us as followers of Jesus out of the dirt and the darkness and into the light. He's called us to a life of moral excellence. So our word for this year is the word consecrate. This word consecrate, here's what it means. It means this, to be what? To be what? To be different. To come out of the dirt, come out of the darkness, come out of the way we used to live, and come into the light and live our lives set apart. So what does that look like to consecrate our lives, to set our lives apart, to live a life of moral excellence? I mean, like, is it some kind of checklist? It's just a checklist, isn't it? You know, you just got to do good. You just got to be good. You just need to stop sinning. You need to read your Bible more. You need to pray more. You need to stop your cussing. Okay, that's probably a good idea on all of those accounts, by the way. I really do need to stop cussing. It's not working out very well as the pastor of this church. If you're new, I'm kidding. I just want to make sure on record you're like, is this a cussing pastor? What church did I just walk into? Now, as soon as I say that, something's going to happen, you know? Moral excellence is not about moral perfection. You heard that a few minutes ago from Derek. Moral excellence is not about moral perfection because nobody's perfect. Okay, this is your moment, church, to turn to someone you've been waiting for this and just tell them right now, you're not perfect. Come on, you're not perfect. Oh, we're having a good time right now, aren't we? Man, that felt good. Now turn back and say, neither are you. neither are you. So moral excellence isn't about moral perfection. It's about pursuing the only one who was perfect, and that is Jesus. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. That's what moral excellence is about. Most of us, we really desire to be fully devoted to Christ. We want to live a life of moral excellence, but let's just be real. It's easy to get distracted away from that and drift. So here's a question I would like for you to write down. And I think you can maybe wrestle with this for the next few minutes. Maybe you want to think about it this week during your devotional time, or maybe you need to carry it through the whole Lent season. But this is the question right here. Am I drifting? Am I distracted? Or am I fully devoted to Christ? Maybe what you need to write down is, where am I drifting? Where am I distracted? Where am I not fully devoted to Christ? See, Peter got distracted. And then he drifted to a place that he thought he would never go. Let's look back at the scriptures. Verse 54. So they arrested Jesus and they led him to the high priest's home. Say this with me. And Peter followed at a distance. One of the biggest deceptions of the devil is that you can follow Jesus at a distance. You're good. It's not that big a deal. Come on, other Christians are doing it. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. Come on, he understands. And when you follow at a distance, it's only a matter of time until you become distracted. And then you drift. And instead of pursuing moral excellence, you start asking, what's the moral minimum? What's the moral minimum that I need to do just to make sure I'm okay? And when you start doing that, the result is that we look and we live no different than the world around us. Our values don't look any different. Our priorities, our calendars and our busyness and the things that we're doing, the places we're going and the things that we say are important, they if you compared them to somebody that's not a follower of Jesus, it doesn't look any different. Our ethics, we're cutting corners. We watch people in the world all around us, right? Cutting corners, right? Cheating things, little fudge on the income tax, little change of this, little Amazon return. And really a turn kind of, you know, I mean, all these little compromises that we make, our lifestyle choices, our lifestyles look no different than the world around us. We don't really care what scripture says. We just let the world decide. Our entertainment. Where are you going for entertainment? What are you watching? Where are you going? The things we're watching, the places we're going, they don't really look much different. It's honestly shocking to me at times when I know and I hear what people will watch and where they'll go. And I'm like, you know that's porn, right? It's crazy. Like, we watch porn in the church and act like, and I'm not talking about clicking on the internet and searching out an unwanted website or a website you go looking for it. I'm talking about Netflix. I'm talking about streaming services. Like, we just put it on in our rooms and we're like, yeah, and what are we doing? We look no different and we live no different than the world around us. Laura and I were, we love to hike in Colorado. It's one of our favorite things to do. And a few years ago, we were hiking in Colorado, and I promised Laura I'd never show that picture in church again. You need to take that off the screen. So, okay, wait, put it back up for just a second. I mean, it's there. So we're prepared when we go. Okay, take it off the screen. I'm getting the look. Take it. So we're prepared when we go. I mean, we are expert hikers. We've got one bottle of water. We do have SPF 50 sunscreen, and Laura's got a stick to ward off the bears because she didn't like bears. So a few years ago, we were hiking, and we were having a great time. And I don't know how you are if you ever go hiking, but I love looking at the trails that aren't quite as much traveled, or there's a side trail over here. I'm a sucker for those because I love adventure. I want to explore, and I'm like, what's that? What's down there? And so I always take these side trails. And so we took a side trail, and we were wandering and winding, and we were having the time of our life. And then all of a sudden, I didn't realize that it was getting late in the day and the sun was starting to set. And I realized as I turned around, I did not know where I was. I wasn't going to tell Laura that because she had her bear stick, and so I had to show confidence, like, oh, we better get back. All I was thinking in my mind is, we're going to end up on the Discovery Channel. Eaten by bears, the thing she fears. We need your stick, baby. Come on. I think this is what's happening right now. This is what happens. We get off the path. We're on the right path. And then we turn and we look at what's that over there? And we start wandering down this other path. And before we know it, it's starting to get dark and we don't even realize it. And we're edging closer and closer to the trap that the enemy has set for us. And we don't even know it. The writer of Proverbs said this in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 26 through 27. He says this, mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Say this with me, don't get sidetracked. Come on. Challenge somebody around you. Tell them, don't get sidetracked. Come on, turn to somebody. Turn to somebody behind you or in front of you, somebody you haven't picked yet, and say, don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked, church. We're getting sidetracked. We got to get back on the main path. He says, keep your feet from following evil. Author John Mark Comer says this, if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. That's why you never hear me use the term, or rarely hear me use the term, Christians. Because what I like to say is that we are followers of who? Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. And what that means is that we are apprentices. We're an apprentice, that we're called to become like our Savior. So whatever Jesus is doing and however he lived his life, that's how we're supposed to be living our life. That's the expectation when we become followers of Jesus. So I ask you again, are you drifting? Where are you distracted? Where are you not yet fully devoted to Christ? So Peter, he's following at a distance, and next thing you know, he's where he thought he would never be. Look at this verse 55. The guards, they lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and they sat around it, and look what it says. Peter joined them there. What? Like just hours earlier, he was praying in the garden with Jesus. And now, just a few hours later, he's sitting around the fire with the very people who arrested him. Are we any different? We're in here and we're with Jesus. What's going to happen in the next few hours? What happened to Peter? Peter certainly didn't plan to be there. But he was following at a distance, and he drifted to the to the fire of compromise. This is a fire you do not want to get close to. Like it's a trap. It burns, it wounds, and it destroys not only you, but the people that you love, people you care about, the people you're trying to witness to come to faith in Jesus. See, sin will take you places you never thought you would go. It'll cost you more than you ever thought you would have to pay. Here's the thing I want us to hear, church, and understand. The devil is not trying to get you to abandon your standards. He's just trying to get you to bend them a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, come on, it's not that big a deal. You can watch that. You can go there. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. Man, I tell you, if I heard that once from my kids growing up, I heard it a gazillion times. Because there would be like, we'd always have these shows. You know, they'd want to watch a TV show, or they'd want to watch a movie, or they'd want to listen to a song. And whenever they would do that, I'd always have to tell them the dog poop brownie story. The dog poop brownie story. Some of y'all don't know the dog poop brownie story. You parents, I'm going to write this down. Those of you that are younger, you might want to write it down because you're going to have kids one day and you're going to want to use it on them. Or if you're young and you're still living at home, use this on your parents. Oh, this is going to be good. So there's this dad, and he makes some brownies for his kids. And he's using his wife's recipe, and he's making all these brownies, and the kids are excited, and they can smell the brownies coming from the kitchen, and they come rushing into the kitchen, and dad is just taking them out of the oven, and they're soft and they're chewy, and he cuts them up and he puts them on a plate, and the kids are ready to dig in. He says, "Hang on, before you eat that brownie, I got to tell you, I know you love mom's recipe, but I added one ingredient." They're like, "Oh, Dad, we don't care. Man, these look amazing." And they said, "Well, hang on, you're going to want to know what I put in them." "Okay, Dad, what'd you put in them?" "Dog poop." Kids are like, "Dog poop? Yeah, but just a little bit. I mean, it's barely even noticeable. You're not even going to notice it's in there." See, church, it's not the obvious sins that will take you out. It's the subtle compromises that lead to the obvious sins that will take you out. So how do we live a life of moral excellence? And how do we avoid moral compromise? I'm going to give you three things. I'm going to give these to you pretty quickly. Number one, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. If not, you are not going to recognize compromise. Most of us, what happens is, if you're not in God's word, you don't even know what compromise is. But when you're in God's word, you know compromise. You know when it's happening. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years when I've seen this, people bending their ethics or their moral standards or whatever it is, and they sit in my office and they're broken, and the one question I ask them, and I do this every time, is I say, "Hey, tell me, how is your time with Jesus?" And 100% of the time, they say to me, "Not very good." I've never had someone sit in front of me ever who has fallen dramatically and say, "You know, Brad, I've been in the Word every single day. I've been praying, I've been seeking God." Never had that conversation. So get in the Word of God. Number two, get around the people of God. Get around the people of God. You've probably heard the phrase, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." I will say it this way: show me your friends and I'll show you your morals. Show me your friends, I'll show you your character. Show me your friends, I'll show you your ethics. Because you are being discipled by the people that you're hanging out with. And you are discipling them. See, in the church, we got it all wrong. We think, "Oh yeah, I need to sign up and get into a small group for discipleship." Yes, get into a small group, but can I tell you this? You're being discipled all the time. Is it to become like Christ? Is it to be formed in Christ? Or are you being discipled into distraction and into drifting. So get around the people of God. Number three, get on your knees before God. During the Lent season, one of the practices is repentance. We talk a lot about that here at Core Church. I believe that we're called to private and public confession. Private confession. Get on your face before God. I've talked about this many times, but you should do it every day. You should find a place where you can get on your knees. Why your knees? Because you need to humble yourself before God. Standing up, sitting in your car or whatever is not humbling yourself before God. If you truly mean that you're repentant, you should bow before Almighty God. Search me, O God. Let him search you. Let him do the work in you. I've been doing this for years. Again, did it this morning. And I thought I was good until I wasn't. And God's like, right there, Brad. I'm like, there? Right there. But God, this is what I do. You ever negotiate with God? It's just dumb. I've been following him for 4 decades. And I'm like trying to negotiate my sin. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. But God, man, you know, God, I mean, my week and I was crazy and all stuff that was going on and I was so tired and I just need some time to myself. Anybody ever said that? Yeah. But that was the only shot you were going to get. And you chose selfishness. You chose yourself over giving. Your time. You're right. I want that out of my life. I don't want to be that kind of person. With repentance comes freedom. But also, I believe in public confession. One of the things that we've started doing here at Core Church has started with our men and then our young adult group, and now it's getting out into our other small groups, is we practice public confession. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another. What does that mean? Confess your sins to one another. That's what it means. By the way, I'm just going to go on record as saying this has been my least favorite scripture ever. I have avoided this scripture. I don't like this scripture. I've even argued against this scripture at times because I'm thinking, well, what about the, again, why do we negotiate with God? Confess your sins to one another. And then it says this, pray for one another that you might be healed. Something happens, and our men gathered on Friday morning, this last Friday morning. You're welcome to join us this Friday at 6:30, but we're going to practice confession, just be warned. And I sat with two other guys, and I said, here's mine. And then one of the guys prayed for me. There's nothing better than when you have admitted your sin and somebody else responds with love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. Freedom comes, so get on your knees before God. But church, I want us to know this isn't just about us here, because right now there are people without the hope and the healing and the peace and the purpose of Jesus, and the enemy has got them caught in a trap. He's got his claws around them. Praise be to God that we know how to find freedom, but they don't. They don't know what to do. This is where Peter was. People were watching him. Look at verse 56. It says, a servant girl, what? Yes, a servant girl, like, noticed him. I like to people watch. Anybody like to people watch? I like to people watch. Don't raise your hand. What are you raising your hand? Like, you know, now those around you are like, oh my gosh, they've been staring at me the whole service. I knew it. I knew it. Yep. Those are the people that are checking out what you're wearing today, okay? But I love to watch people. I love to go to the Tulsa State Fair, and I love to go to Walmart at 2:00 in the afternoon. Like, people aren't even trying anymore. It's like a PJ convention. I'm like, I'm way overdressed. This is so much fun. Laura and our neighbor Cheryl, they are the co-presidents of our neighborhood watch. We don't even have a neighborhood watch. Yeah, people are watching you. Like, this is why we don't have bumper stickers, people. Like, we hand out Life Church bumper stickers. That's what we do around here. But people are watching you. They're watching your choices. They're watching your decisions. They're watching your lifestyle. So what is your life saying? Is it saying set apart, dedicated, fully devoted to Christ? Or, like Peter, are you following at a distance, drifting, distracted? Scripture says that Peter wept bitterly. What I like, though, is Jesus didn't leave him there, and he doesn't leave any of us there. Peter had such deep regret for his sin. That's what repentance is. And Jesus didn't reject Peter. In fact, we see in John chapter 21 that much later after his resurrection that he restored Peter. He didn't restore Peter once. He restored him not twice, but three times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus?
Three times.
How many times did Jesus restore him? A little lesson to learn out of that is there is no sin too great that Jesus can't forgive. Jesus will meet you at your point of brokenness. So if he needs to forgive you this much, he'll forgive you this much. If he needs to forgive you, well, he's going to meet you at the point of your brokenness. This is the cross. That's what the Lent season is all about. We are moving towards the cross and the resurrection. The cross is what sets us free from the trap that the enemy has set for us. Listen, you can stare at the enemy's trap and say, that ain't gonna get me because of the cross and the blood of Jesus. I'm his and I'm going to follow him and no trap is going to keep me because I am fully devoted to him. Amen? We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.